RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Finance Minister affirmed Indonesian economic condition still good. Bio Pharma promotes Indonesian Geopark at UNESCO conference. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati explained on Tuesday that Indonesian economic condition is very good amid the global economic slowdown. She pointed out that the country's economy is stable, with growth predicted to reach 5% this year when the global economy has shown no significant signs of recovery. Minister Sri also said Indonesia has a big economic potential, making it one of the favorite investment destinations in the world, with the advantages in licensing facility and demographic bonus, which could become an added value in the next several years. She added that the economy reform, marked with a series of economic policy packages, could be a factor encouraging participation of private sector. There is also support from the growing and productive middle class and large population of potential young people. State-owned vaccine manufacturer and distributor Bio Pharma is introducing and promoting wonderful Geopark of Indonesia at the 7th International Conference of UNESCO on Global Geopark Health in Turkey, English Riviera, about 3.5 hours from London on September 26 until 30, 2016. Head of the CSR Community Development EHS Division of Bio Pharma, Harry, in a statement on Tuesday, said that the vaccine company is invited to deliver a presentation on the role of state-owned enterprises in the development geopark areas. He explained that Bio Pharma is supporting Cletu Pelabuhan Ratu Geopark in West Java, starting from national recognition on December 2015 and preparatory stage of geopark documents for submission to UNESCO, which is to be finalized at the end of 2017. Harry added that the development of Geopark is a Bio Pharma's CSR program, which gives priority to local contents. Director of Garuda Indonesia Cargo, Sigit Muhartono, said on Tuesday that the national airline Garuda Indonesia launched a new flight route to expand connectivity in East Indonesia. He said in a press statement in Kupang that the two new routes are Momere dan Pasar round trip and direct flights on Kupang Jakarta round trip. The inauguration of the new flight path for Garuda Indonesia was conducted at the Franceda Airport in Momere, Sika District, and was attended by Sika Region Yosef Ansar Rera. Wartartono said the new flight service to and from NTT is part of expansion of the flight network, which continues to be conducted by Garuda Indonesia. The Bali and West Nusa Tenggara Customs and Excise Office has foiled an attempt to smuggle some 30 tons of ammonium nitrate wrapped in a 1,200 sacks from Malaysia into Indonesia. Husni Saipul of the Bali Nusa Tenggara Customs and Excise Office said on Tuesday that the smuggling attempt was thwarted in the North Bali's waters while the illegal ammonium nitrate was being transported to Sulawesi. The authorities arrested six crew of the NV Alam Indah in North Bali waters on Wednesday at around 11:30 a.m. local time. The chemical substance was imported illegally without documentation or permits. The operation was conducted during a routine patrol in Bali's waters up to the waters near Timor Leste. They had grown suspicions of a small wooden boat with imported cargo that did not attempt to enter any designated seaports with the authority to check the imported goods. The boat had initially carried 1,500 sacks, but because of a leak, 300 sacks were believed to have been thrown into the sea. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Zoonotic diseases had become a real threat in Indonesia. The Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, has identified Indonesia as one of hotspots for the emerging infectious diseases, EID, in Asia. Team leader of FAO Emergency Center for Transboundary Animal Diseases, Indonesia, James McCrane, after the opening ceremony of One Health International Seminar taking place in Banten on Tuesday, said that the global efforts of all stakeholders are required to prevent and control the spread of EID and zoonotic diseases. He views that such efforts can be conducted through One Health approach that collaborates health sector, agriculture and animal, as well as environmental sector, to gain optimal health for people, agriculture and livestock, wildlife and environment.
The only way that we can properly address zoonotic diseases and emerging infectious diseases is if we all work together. That means not only the Ministry of Agriculture through the veterinary services, but also the Ministry of Health through human health services, and also the environment, because the environmental sector is also at the interface between animal health, human health, and environmental health. So the One Health approach focuses on cross-sectoral collaboration at these particular interfaces where diseases emerge, whether it's from wildlife, whether it's through livestock, but which eventually end up impacting on human health. In general, the trend in Indonesia.
The UN Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, noted that almost 75% of emerging infectious diseases and the emerging infectious diseases is zoonotic or animal origin. According to FAO, factors that contribute to the emergence were, among others, globalization that accelerated cross-border movement of human and animal, increase in human population and changes in human behavior, the development of technology and industry, adaptation and changes in microorganisms, and reduction prevention of public health. Team leader of FAO Emergency Center for Transboundary Animal Disease, Indonesia, James McCrane, said in Banten on Tuesday that Indonesia has a positive trend to limit the use of antibiotic drugs to promote the growth of livestock. He also said that such measure is important to control the emergence of various problems due to antimicrobial resistance as a result of the use of excessive antibiotic drugs.
In general, the trend in Indonesia is to move towards not using antibiotics as growth promoters in intensive livestock industries. As bacteria or viruses become resistant to antibiotic drugs, we must try to ensure that the rate of use of antibiotics in the animal health industry is reduced. That is one of the factors which I think is important for us to address and to combat the emergence of antimicrobial resistance.
For the first time, heads of state and delegates of the 71st United Nations General Assembly are committed to taking a broad and coordinated approach to address the root causes of antimicrobial resistance across multiple sectors, especially human health, animal health, and agriculture. Seen as a collective effort to address a challenge to health, food security and development, countries reaffirmed their commitment to develop national action plans on antimicrobial resistance based on the Global Action Plan on Antimicrobial Resistance, the Blueprint for Tackling AMR, developed in 2015 by World Health Organization, WHO, in coordination with Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, and the World Organization for Animal Health. The last item, the representative of International People Tribunal or People Court in the Den Haag, Netherlands, Harry Wo, appreciated the implementation of National Symposium on the 1965 tragedy in the middle of this year. In a press conference held in Jakarta recently, Harry said that the symposium initiated by the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Human Rights is a breakthrough to discuss the 1965 tragedy. He said that the government's positive efforts to reveal the truth should be appreciated. Therefore, he is expecting the result of the symposium could be presented to the public.
Upaya pemerintah ini perlu kami apresiasi. Tetapi yang penting kami tekankan adalah bahwa hasil-hasil...
We should appreciate the government's support. It is important that the result should be published to the public. It was a public symposium, therefore public should know the whole process of it and the symposium should be covered by media. Of course, the result should be in a public promulgation and it is the obligation of Minister of Politics, Law and Human Rights to announce the result of the symposium. Harry Wo also said the survivors of the 1965 tragedy have the rights to know the whole processes, measures and government's policies related to the case. On August 5th, the government, through the Coordination Minister of Politics, Justice and Human Rights, held a meeting with representatives of the National Commission on Human Rights to design the completion of the 1965 tragedy to hatred and resentment. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Session of the UN General Assembly 2016. The UN General Assembly is one of the six main bodies of the United Nations. This assembly is composed of all member countries and they meet annually. Usually the session starts taking place in the third week of September and ends in mid-December. In the meeting for nearly 3 months, various issues are discussed, ranging from political issues to human rights. Thousands of people from many backgrounds, ranging from celebrities to domestic workers, talk about their own interests among the nation in this forum. One of them who has chance to speak at the UN General Assembly this year is Annie Lestari, an activist migrant worker from Indonesia. Now she serves as a chairwoman of the International Migrants Alliance. This is the first time for an activist who had been a maid for 15 years in Hong Kong. She expressed the hope that the world and her country are really concerned about foreign workers, especially from Indonesia. In interview, Annie Lestari explained that although the United Nations can't resolve the problems of exploitation of migrant workers, she will continue her fight. In her speech before the UN General Assembly, the Indonesian woman has expressed the need for the UN to follow up the draft and approval of some international agreements regarding the fate of the migrant workers. She also urged Indonesian government to treat the migrant workers. According to data of the Minister of Manpower, there are currently 6 million migrant workers worldwide. The problem of migrant workers is one of the many agenda of the General Assembly this year. Other issues of concern are the refugee and conflicts that occurred in many regions in the world. The Indonesian government, represented by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, paid attention to the effort of resolving the armed conflict that are still going on, such as in Iraq and Syria. Many agenda are discussed, but the expectations and hopes of resolving various problems are still questioned. For the issue of refugees, for example, UN agency that deals with the problem is unable to play a significant role. This is due to the continued spread of the conflict that mainly causes the exodus of refugees. The conflict resolution has not achieved success despite the United Nations has made intervention. Joint efforts should be made so that the aim of the UN to create a world of peace and justice can be realized. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to the segment of Today in History. We start with an event on September 23, 1932, Saudi Arabia was officially established. Saudi Arabia is the Arab country located in the Arabian Peninsula. The country has a desert climate and the region are mostly desert area, with the largest one is Rab al-Khali. Saudi Arabia, directly adjacent to Jordan, Iraq, Kuwait, the Persian Gulf, the United Arab Emirates, Oman, Yemen, and the Red Sea. On September 23, 1932, Abdul Aziz bin Abdul Rahman Al Saud, which is also known as Ibn Saud, proclaimed the establishment of the Saudi Arabian Kingdom by unifying Riyadh, Najd, Ha'a, Asir, and Hijaz. Abdul Aziz became the first king in the kingdom. Therefore, it can be understood the name of Saudi derives from the surname of King Abdul Aziz Al Saud. On September 23, 1973, Juan Perón back to power in Argentina. In February 1946, Perón was elected as president for the first period. As president, he tended to focus on pro-labor and pro-nationalism. On September 19, 1955, Perón was dismissed and exiled after the military staged a coup against his government. The 18 years exile not removed his influence among the people. On September 23, 1973, at the age of 70 years, Perón was re-elected as president of Argentina for the third time period. Juan Perón died in his office on June 1, 1974, and his position was replaced by Isabel, his second wife. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event of the launching Firefox 1.0 on September 23, 2002. Firefox 1.0, which was launched on September 23, 2002, not the first version of the web browser. Firefox 1.0 was the evolution of the Mozilla application suite. Firefox 1.0, also called the Phoenix. Then in 2003, Firefox 1.0 was renamed to Firebird. And in 2004, Mozilla Firebird became Mozilla Firefox. Quickly, Mozilla Firefox received by internet users in the world because it is considered safer and easier to use. Mozilla Firefox is also able to grab the majority of Internet Explorer facility market, which has been dominated by Microsoft Internet Explorer. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Indonesian government dissolved 9 non-structural institutions. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in the limited meeting at the presidential office on Tuesday, approved the dissolution of the 9 non-structural institutions. The dissolution related to overlaps with the existing institutions and for the efficiency and effectiveness of the budget. The 9 non-structural institutions, namely the National Seed Board, Bol Guidance Control Agency, Resilience Council of Economy and Finance, the Steering Committee Development of Special Economic Zones in Batam, Bintan, and Karimun Islands, the National Team for Topographic Standardization, the Indonesian Marine Council, the National Council of Free Trade Zone and Freeport, the National Spatial Planning Coordinating Board, and the National Commission for Zoonosis Control. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung Wibowo and Minister of Administrative Reform and Bureaucratic Reform, Asman Abnur, after a cabinet meeting in Jakarta Tuesday, September 20, said, "The dissolution of the 9 non-structural institutions is a decision taken in the cabinet meeting." Related to the institution's dissolution, Minister of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Abnur Asman said, "The institutions will be returned to the existing ministry. For example, the National Seed Board will be transferred to the Ministry of Agriculture." Regarding to the fate of employees, Asman said, "They will only 10 to 20 employees to be dissolved. They will be returned to the relevant ministries, while temporary employees will follow the applicable regulations." The dissolution of the non-structural institutions became effective after the presidential decree published. Meanwhile, the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung stated, in 2014, there were 127 non-structural institutions. Then, in the same year, other 10 non-structural institutions were dissolved, following 2 institutions in 2015 and 9 institutions on Tuesday, September 20, 2016. So, there were 21 non-structural institutions were dissolved, so the rest are 106 institutions that were formed by the law and presidential decree. Public Policy Observer Budi Santoso, in a dialogue with RRI on Wednesday, assessed that the dissolution is the right policy, especially during the time these 9 non-structural institutions did not have clear function. Budi estimated President Joko Widodo will continue to dissolve a number of inefficient non-structural institutions. Listener, that was The Focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati explained on Tuesday that Indonesia's economic condition is very good amid the global economy slowdown. She pointed out that the country's economy is stable, with the growth predicted to reach 5% this year. State-owned vaccine manufacturer and distributor Bio Farma is introducing and promoting Wonderful Geopath of Indonesia at the 7th International Conference of UNESCO on Global Geopath Health in Torquay, English Riviera, about 3.5 hours from London on September 26 until 30, 2016. Director of Garuda Indonesia Cargo Sigit Murhartono said on Tuesday that the national airline Garuda Indonesia launched a new flight route to expand connectivity in East Indonesia. The Bali and West Nusa Tenggara Custom and Exercise Office has foiled an attempt to smuggle some 30 tons of ammonium nitrate wrapped in a 1,200 sack and from Malaysia into Indonesia. Zoonotic diseases had become a real threat in Indonesia. The Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, has identified Indonesia as one of the hotspots for the emerging infectious diseases in Asia. Team leader of FAO Emergency Center for Transboundary Animal Disease, Indonesia James McCrain, said in Banten on Tuesday that Indonesia as a positive trend to limit the use of antibiotic drugs to promote the growth of livestock. The representative of International People's Tribunal or the People Court in the Den Haag, Netherlands, Harry Wower, appreciated the implementation of National Symposium on the 1965 tragedy in the middle of this year. In a press conference held in Jakarta recently, Harry said that the symposium initiated by the Coordinating Municipal Political, Legal and Human Rights is a breakthrough to discuss the 1965 tragedy. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in our segment of Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Baturunan tradition in East Kalimantan province. Stay tuned. Listener, a few weeks ago, there has been held rowing games in Burau, East Kalimantan. The longboat race is part of the 63rd anniversary of Burau Regency. Interestingly, before the race was held, a local tradition called Baturunan was firstly held. In this tradition, the Naga Sequin boat is taken down into Segah River, the river that divides Burau City. Listener, the boat which is taken down into Segah River during the procession of Baturunan tradition, namely Naga Sequin. Naga Sequin in the language of Banoa or Brau means the two-headed dragon. The boat is kept at the courtyard of Gunung Tabur Museum, Brau Regency. Naga Sequin is a wooden boat with 19 meters long. Made of red Meranti wood, the boat is able to carry 30 passengers. The front end of the boat form with capped dragon's head. The neck is written Naga Sequin. The stern of the boat is like round short carved tail. Naga Sequin is no relics, belongs to the Brau Palace, which is stored in the museum until nowadays. Baturunan longboat procession is usually held in Museum Batiwakal of Gunung Tabur Palace. Before being released into the Segah River, traditional elder of Gunung Tabur, namely Menyarandu, led the prayer for the safety of the boat and its 50 crewmen. After Menyarandu, then the 50 crewmen carrying Naga Sequin together and put it on the banks of the Segah River. Baturunan tradition has lasted for generations since the era of Brau Kingdom. Baturunan actually means mutual cooperation. Baturunan also means mutual help if one of the residents not finish the harvest rice. Similarly, when people build a boat, when the boat is taken down into the river, the neighbors and relatives are invited to eat together and then to push the boat down to the river. Baturunan could also be intended as a relationship, friendship, companionship, security, kinship, cooperation, teamwork, similar goal, and the unity of Brau people. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Baturunan Tradition from East Kalimantan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener creative ideas can come from anywhere, such as internet, book reference, other people's experience or our own experience. Creative idea from Hadi Apriliawan is unique. He creates pasteurized milk machine. In today's edition of Miscellany, we'll inform you about electric milk machine created by Hadi to pasteurize milk. Listener, the sadness in Hadi's face was shown when he saw his father as a milk seller who often throws away amount of milk every day. Fresh cow milk only lasts for about 5 hours outside the freezer. Hadi's father is not the only man who has this problem. In Malang, East Java, most of the cow milk sellers have it. The milk has low price because the total plate count or the number of bacteria content in the milk is quite high. It causes many of villagers in the area to get sick after they drink the milk. As a man originally comes from the area, Hadi feels so sad. He remembers that his father said when he was in a college to create something in order to save fresh cow milk among the milk breeders. So, Hadi creates a 50,000-volt electric shock that is able to preserve fresh milk for 7 days. The high-voltage electric shock will maintain milk vitamin and kill microorganism that makes the milk stall. Hadi Apriliawan's innovation saves more energy because the electric milk only needs 90 watts to preserve. It is more efficient compared to other technologies that need 1,000 until 1,500 megawatt. Many cow breeders in Malang begin to use Hadi's technologies today. They put the fresh milk inside the aluminum container. Then they shocked it with electricity. After that, they put the milk inside the closed container. The milk will last about a week without a freezer. Hadi's creation is used by not only milk breeders, but also milk companies that order the device. This device can also be used in a mobile way by using dynamo. The innovation is very useful for people. The device has been given patent rights and begins to be mass-produced. Hadi even built his own company with the name Sefe Inovasi Anak Negeri. The result of this electric milk makes Hadi popular in the world with so great achievement. He was the first champion of the global innovation through science and technology in Abu Dhabi in 2011. In the same year, Hadi also received an award from the Research and Technology Ministry, namely the Young Technopreneurship. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Hadi Apriliawan, the electric milk innovator. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany. I'm Nuku Kusumawati.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Itje Trisnawati, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Cari Jodoh. Happy listening. Itje Trisnawati was a very popular Indonesian dangdut singer in the 80s since she was on debut in Indonesian dangdut scene in 1979. Itje Trisnawati was widely known by the Indonesian dangdut lovers after releasing her album entitled To Engkang in 1990. She got married with Edi Sud, a famous Indonesian entertainer known with his capability in promoting new Indonesian talents. The marriage brought Itje to the top of her career. Her songs entitled Du Engkang, Nggak Lagi Lagi Ah, Madu Merah, Dana Asmara, and Satu Malam That Are Loved by the Indonesian Dangdut Lovers. Listeners, before we go further, let's listen to another song by Itje Trisnawati entitled Du Engkang. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, Doenggang is the song which has made Itje Trisnawati's name famous to the top. In her entire career, Itje Trisnawati was awarded with 5 HDX Awards, 1 BASF Award, and 1 HDX Special Award for her achievements and contributions in Indonesian dangdut industry. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to 2 songs by Itje Trisnawati entitled Badai Biru and Madu Merah. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Terima kasih.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.